I want to talk to you about the glory of Christ unveiled. The glory of Christ unveiled. Luke chapter 5, and we're going to read through verse 7, starting at verse 1. Luke chapter 5, verse 1 says, "And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret, and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them, and they were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, he said to Simon, 'Launch out into the deep, and let down your nets for a catch.' And Simon answering said unto him, 'Master, we have toiled all the night, and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net.' And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their nets broke. And they beckoned unto their partner, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink." In this story, there's something that I really want us to look at in verse 1. So again, in Luke chapter 5, look with me at verse 1. Verse 1 says, "And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret." So here's the picture. Jesus is speaking to a multitude of people the word of God. And the Bible says that the people were pressing upon him to hear the word of God. And so because they were pressing upon him, Jesus gets into a boat. And he tells Peter to launch out a little from the bank because he wants to speak to them the word of God and tell them the things of the kingdom of God. And the Bible says, when we see this, that they pressed upon him. And what I really sense from the Lord is that in this crowd, there are people that are really hungry to hear what Jesus has to say. That their hearts are sincere. They want to hear and they want to receive what Christ is saying. We know in the stories in the Gospels that the crowds, we see the crowds that they follow him for the signs and the wonders and the miracles. But we have to remember in these crowds are a people that are truly hungry to hear what Jesus has to say and receive what he has to say. And so in this crowd by this bank, there may be a Nathanael in this crowd. That is someone who's searching the scriptures diligently for the Messiah. Someone who's searching the scriptures diligently to find the one who's going to come with the words of life. And in this crowd, we may find Levi or someone like Levi in this crowd. In this same chapter, Luke chapter 5, we see that Jesus goes by the receipt of custom and he sees Levi, tax collector, there. And he calls him. And the Bible says that Levi, Matthew, was so overjoyed by the call of Christ that he invited Christ to his home and he invited all of his publican friends and tax collectors, and they have a big celebration there. So there may be people like Levi in this crowd who are publicans, tax collectors, sinners, but yet there's something in their heart that desires something more than the life that they're living. They're really hungry for what Christ is having this, what Christ is saying, what he's speaking about. And so my point this morning is that in this crowd, there are sincere and hungry hearts ready to hear and receive what Jesus is speaking. A people whose heart is saying, yes, this is what I've been looking for all my life. That I know that this man is speaking the word of God because there's such life in what he is saying. And this is something that my heart has been hungering for so long. I've spent so many years of my life listening to the religious leaders of the day, the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the priests, but their words and their lifestyle has left me empty and confused and condemned. But now I hear something in my heart and I know it's the heart of God. This is what I've been looking for all my life. And so there's a great rejoicing breaking out in hearts as God is speaking forth the things of the kingdom of God and the heart of God. There's a rejoicing that's breaking out in the heart of many of the people. But somewhere in their celebration of heart, there comes a crisis that in some of the people, a perplexity arises, that there's a perplexing question that begins to fill their heart. And that question is simply this. The kingdom that Jesus is speaking of is a wonderful, glorious kingdom. The promises of God are so alive and glorious when He speaks of them. But how do I apply this to my own life? How do I experience the power and the glory of this kingdom in my own heart? This wonderful word is so full of life. How does this word become mine? How does these words, while He is speaking, become real in my life and work in my heart? It's one thing to hear them. It's another thing to actually live and walk in them. So there's this question comes in the hearts. They're hearing Jesus talking about the kingdom. And there's a rejoicing in their heart. But then they begin to ask the question, well, how do I make this word that I'm hearing real in my life, the things that He's saying? And Jesus must have sensed their perplexity. He must have sensed the question that's going on in their heart. Because after He gets through speaking, He reveals to them the answer. After He gets through speaking, He shows them how to make this kingdom real in their own life. And so Jesus, after He's through speaking, He looks at Peter and He says, Peter, I want you to launch out into the deep for a catch. And what Jesus is going to do now is He's going to show them how to unveil this kingdom and this glorious kingdom in their own heart and in their own life. So He says to Peter, He says, Peter, launch your boat out into the deep and let down your net, because there's something I want to teach you and there's something that I want the people to see. And what I want to look at right here is Peter's response, because this is the whole point. This is what Jesus is trying to teach them. Look with me at Luke chapter 5. Look with me at verse 4, and we're going to read part of verse 5. Now, when He had left speaking, He said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. And Simon answering said unto Him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. So stop right there. This is the whole point Jesus is trying to make. He says, Peter, let's go out into the deep and let down your net for a catch. And Peter says, we've toiled all night and yet we've caught nothing. And in reality, what he is saying is, Jesus, we have given it our best human effort and we've caught nothing. In our own effort and in our own strength, there is absolutely nothing more that we could have done. We gave it our very best try. And this is the whole point that Jesus is trying to make about this glorious kingdom. Jesus is saying, He's saying, Peter, I want to show you. This is the point that He's making. He's making this point. Peter, I want to show you that my power is so much greater than human effort. The glory and power I want to release in your life is not limited by human effort. Peter, I can do something in your heart that so far transcends human effort. Peter, I can make you into something that you could never become in your own strength. This is what the Lord is teaching His people here. This is exactly the point that the Lord is trying to make. And so let's ask a question. Well, then how does the Lord do this? How does the Lord do a miraculous work in our lives? How is this powerful kingdom unveiled in our hearts and in our own lives? Well, if you'll look with me again at verse 5, we will see. Luke chapter 5, look with me at verse 5. And Simon answered and said unto Him, Master, we have toiled all the night and taken nothing. Nevertheless, at Thy word, I will let down the net. So Peter says, at Thy word. And brothers and sisters, you need to circle those three words, because listen, this is the whole key to seeing this glorious kingdom unveiled in your own heart. This is the whole secret of seeing the promises of God in this glorious kingdom unveiled in your own life. He says, nevertheless, at your word, I will let down your net. And so Peter obeys the word of the Lord. And I want you to see what happens next. Look with me at verse 6. And when they had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes and their net broke. So in other words, by simply obeying the word of God, Peter saw the miraculous. By simply obeying the word of God, Peter saw Christ do something absolutely impossible that in his own strength and in his own effort he could never do. But this is what I really want you to see. I want you to look with me at verse 8. Verse 8 says, when Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. So here's the truth that we see here. Peter saw the multitude of fish filling the nets, but he saw something so much more. He saw Christ for who he was. He saw Jesus for who he was. See, brothers and sisters, this miracle isn't about seeing fish fill a boat, seeing fish fill a net. The whole miracle is about having the eyes of your heart open to see Jesus. That's what it's about. So what Jesus is saying is, when you love me and you walk in simple obedience to my word, then you're going to have eyes to see me. And in seeing me, seeing the kingdom with the eyes of your heart, that's when you're going to be changed from glory to glory. And the promises of God are going to come alive in your heart, come alive in your life. I love that about this story. I really saw it so clear. It's not about seeing fishes fill a net. It's about obeying the word of God and seeing Jesus. The eyes of your heart open to see the Lord. But this is what I want us to see. Here Jesus is teaching his people. He's saying, my beloved people, if you will open your heart to hear my word and obey it, your eyes will truly be open to see me and all that I am. And beholding me, seeing me, you will be miraculously transformed into my likeness, because I am the kingdom. If you will love and obey my word, you will see the glorious kingdom of God unveiled in your own hearts. You will see the power of my word miraculously work in you. You'll see the kingdom truths come alive in your own hearts because you see me. Now, 2 Corinthians 3:18 really reveals this truth very powerfully. So what I want you to do is put your markers in Luke chapter 5. And I want you to go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Look with me at verse 18. It says, but we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even by the Spirit of God. So according to 2 Corinthians chapter 3:18, how are we changed? What is it that changes? Verse 18 says, again, but we all, with open face, beholding as in the glass the glory of God, are changed. So it's when we're beholding the glory of God, looking at the glory of God, that we are changed. Now, brothers and sisters, Christ is the glory of God. Hebrews 1:3 says that he is the brightness of my glory. In other words, there's not a greater expression, there's not a fuller expression or demonstration of the glory of God than Christ Jesus. So when you look at it, the Bible is saying that when you see Christ, when your eyes of your heart are truly open to see him, and you're really making him the focus of your life because you truly see him with the eyes of your heart, it's in seeing him that you're changed. And that is what happened to Peter in Luke chapter 5. He began to see Jesus for who he was by obeying the word of God. And he was right there on the spot. He was beginning to be transformed. That's the whole point right there. How are we changed? We are changed by loving God and getting into his word and simply walking in simple obedience to the word of the Lord. And as we do that, God opens up the eyes of our heart and we begin to see him. And as we see him, then we are being changed like him. And this glorious kingdom is unveiled within our life. But Peter saw Jesus for who he was in Luke chapter 5. But in seeing Jesus, he saw something else. He saw his own heart. I want you to go with me again back to Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5. He saw Jesus, but then he began to see his own heart in the light of who Jesus was. Luke chapter 5. Look with me again at verse 8. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. So in the light of the glory of Christ and the revelation of Christ, Peter saw his own heart. Peter saw his own sinful condition. And he fell down before the Lord and he said, Lord, depart from me. But this is what I want you to understand. This cry is coming out of a man's heart who yet doesn't know the ways of the Lord. It's coming out of a cry of a heart that doesn't yet understand the mind and the heart of God. Peter doesn't understand that it's the delight of God to walk with imperfect people. Peter doesn't yet understand that it's the pleasure of God's heart to walk with his people and to pour his love out upon his people. And at the same time, miraculously transform their life and work in the issues of their heart. Peter doesn't understand this. He doesn't understand it's the good pleasure of God to clothe his people with a perfect righteousness because they're imperfect. and then begin to walk with him and open up his heart and share his heart and begin to sanctify and transform them and work in their heart. Peter doesn't understand that. That's why he is telling the presence of the Lord to depart. But Jesus says two words from him. Peter says, "Depart from me, O Lord, because I'm a sinner." But in verse 10, Jesus says two words. I want you to look with me at verse 10. Luke chapter 5, verse 10. And Jesus said unto Simon, look at the middle of the verse. And Jesus said unto Simon, fear not. So in other words, he says to Peter, he's saying, Peter, don't be afraid. I'm not here to condemn you. He's saying, I'm here to show you the wonderful love of God. I'm here to show you that he desires to walk and commune with you and gloriously change your life. Peter, I'm here to show you that it's my father's good pleasure to walk with imperfect people and to pour his love out upon them and miraculously work in their hearts. That's what Jesus is saying when he's saying, fear not. He's saying, Peter, don't be afraid to be in my presence. Because it's my presence that's going to change you. It's being in my presence and beholding me and following me that I'm going to work in the issues of your life and I'm going to miraculously change your heart. Peter, by my blood, I'm going to wash you and I'm going to cleanse you and I'm going to clothe you with a perfect righteousness so the condemner has no more accusations against you anymore. Yes, you're imperfect, you have issues, but I'm going to clothe you with my righteousness. And as you love me and obey me and behold me, I am going to change your life. I'm going to change your heart. So he says to Peter, fear not, I'm not here to condemn you. I'm here to call you to walk with me and I'm going to change you. But secondly, when Jesus says, fear not, he's not only saying, Peter, don't be afraid of my presence, but he's also saying this. He's saying, Peter, don't be afraid of the things that you see in your heart. There will be times of convictions and there will be times of dealings, but you don't have to be afraid of the things that you see in your heart because my power to change and transform you is so much greater than the issues that you see in your life. The Lord is saying, if you will just love me with all of your heart and seek me and obey my commandments, my power will do miracles in your life. Peter, don't be afraid of the things that you see in your heart. Now I want you to go with me again. Put your marker in Luke chapter 5, and I want you to go with me to Matthew chapter 13. Look with me at verse 31. Matthew 13:31 says, another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed into his field, which indeed is the least of all seeds. But when it is grown, it is the greatest among herbs, and becometh a tree, so that the birds of the air cometh and lodge in the branches thereof. So here Jesus is talking about the kingdom of God, and he says the kingdom of God is like a small seed that is so small that it is the least of all seeds. And when you read chapter 13, especially verse 19, you know the seed he's talking about is the seed of the word of God. And what I want you to notice is Jesus says that it's like the least of all seeds. And there are a few ways that we can apply this, but this morning, this is the way I really sense by the Spirit of the Lord how he wants to apply it. There are times that the Lord will speak into our hearts a word and he will plant a seed. And that seed will be in our heart. But compared to all the other desires and all the other issues in our heart, that seed seems so small to these other things. And let me just give you an example. Maybe the Lord may put a word in our heart about humility. That my people are to be a humble people. They're to be a people who are dependent upon me. They're to be a meek and lowly people. And he plants that word in our heart, and that word is so alive in our heart, and there's just a cry, yes, Lord, this is what I desire, because it's after your heart. But yet, in the light of the seed being planted, there may be times that we begin to see our own pride, and we begin to see our own arrogance, and we begin to see our own ego and things like this in our heart. And there's a cry that comes into our heart. Oh, God, I see the humility that you want to work in my life. But God, the pride of my heart seems so much bigger than the seed that you planted in my life. It seems so much bigger. And the Lord says here in Matthew 13, don't despair, because the Lord's going to be faithful to water that seed. He's going to be faithful to nourish that seed. And that seed is going to become a quality in our life, a kingdom quality that shines from our life. And there will be a day that people begin to see the humility in our life. And there's something in their hearts that says, yes, this is truly a humble man or woman of God, because God is faithful to nourish that seed in our life. Now, I want to show you an example of this. There is a perfect example of this in the Bible. I want you to go with me to Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10. Look with me at verse 35. It says, and James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came unto him, saying, Master, we would that thou shouldest do for us whatsoever we desire. And he said unto them, what would ye that I should do for you? And they said unto him, grant unto us that we may sit one on thy right hand and the other on our left hand in thy glory. So, brothers and sisters, what we see here is two proud men who are seeking a high position. That's what we see here. What we're seeing here is two men who want to be seen as someone great, someone favored in the kingdom of God. What we're seeing is two men that want a higher position than everyone else, than the other disciples. That's what we're seeing here. So we are seeing proud, ambitious men. But what I love about this story is when Jesus sees this in their heart, what he does is he plants a seed. He plants a seed. Let me show you this. Look with me at verse 42. But Jesus called to the disciples and said unto them, ye know that they which are accounted to rule over the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and their great ones exercise authority upon them. But so shall it not be among you, but whosoever will be greatest among you shall be your minister, and whosoever of you will be the chiefest shall be the servant of all. What is Jesus doing here? He's planting a seed. He's planting a seed of humility, and he's planting a seed of servanthood in their heart. And so we have to ask this question. Did this seed, which seemed to be so small at the time that Jesus spoke it, did it blossom into a great tree? Well, go with me to 1 John. Let's look at this man, John. Go with me to 1 John. Let's see what happened to this seed. 1 John chapter 3. 1 John 3, verse 16. John writes, the same John, he writes, hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. So what we see here in the scriptures, John became a man who deeply fell in love with his brothers and sisters in the Lord, and he laid down his life to serve them. This seed that seemed so small when Jesus first spoke it, because Jesus was faithful to water it and to nourish it. You now see the great man of God that John became because of Christ's faithfulness in his life. And so my whole point this morning in telling you is, I don't want to lose my point. Jesus is saying, don't be afraid of the things that you see in your heart. Yes, there will be conviction. Yes, there will be dealings. But don't be afraid of the things that you see in your heart. Because when I plant a seed in your heart, I'm going to nourish that seed and I'm going to water that seed. And that seed is one day going to grow into a tree that's going to shine from your life. That my power is so much greater than the issues of your heart. And if you'll just love me and seek me in my word and obey my word, I will open up the eyes of your heart and you will be miraculously changed. Not because of your faithfulness, but because of my faithfulness to work in your heart. That's what the Lord is saying here. Now, let's finish our story. Go with me back to Luke chapter 5, verse 10. Again, starting at the middle of the verse. And Jesus said unto Simon, fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. In other words, Jesus is telling Peter, Peter, this same power that you saw here today, fill the net with fishes, is going to fill your life. And Peter, I'm going to make you into something by this same power that you could never make of yourself in your own strength and in your own effort. Peter, the same power that you saw is going to work in your heart in such a way that not just your words, but your life and your heart is going to have a message that is going to change the eternal destinies of men. Peter, follow me. And that is what the Lord is saying to Peter. He's not just saying you're going to go catch men. He's talking about what he's going to do in Peter's life. I'm going to make you into something you could never be in your own strength, in your own efforts. Not your word, but your life. Your heart is going to have a message. It's going to have so much power to it. It's going to change the destiny of people's lives. And that's what the Lord wants you to understand today. God is working powerfully in your heart. God is working powerfully in your life. He wants you to understand that today. It's not about your strength. It's not about your effort. It's not about trying to muster up everything you can be and try to fit into what you think a man or a woman of God should be. It's not about your strength and effort. It's simply about you loving Jesus with all your heart and seeking Him in His Word. And as you seek Him in His Word, He's going to open up the eyes of your heart and cause you to see Him. And in seeing Him, this kingdom is going to be unveiled in your life. He is going to change you into His image from glory to glory. And He is going to make you into something you could never make in yourself. Not because you're faithful, but because God is faithful. Amen. You know, I've learned something. God does call His people to be faithful. We are called to be faithful to the Lord. But we can only be faithful because God is faithful to give us the grace and the strength in our life and work. So it all goes back to the faithfulness of the Lord. So you need to be encouraged today. God is saying, just love me, seek me in my word, obey the things that I speak to your heart. And as you do this, you're going to experience a power in your life you never knew. You're going to be changed from glory to glory, image to image, likeness to likeness by the Spirit of God. Stand with me this morning.